Good afternoon. So, the African continent. This is 8 December 2025 to 30 January 2026. Namibia is a party to this operation. We're just looking at. Now, this is from the 8th of December. This is before Christmas, as you can tell from the date. It's the 8th of December. So from the 8th of December to the 30th to the 30th of January, Interpol is sweeping across the African continent, especially the, you know, especially sub-Saharan Africa. What they are looking for is something specific. They are looking for criminals, but these are not your average criminals that are just walking around, physically breaking into houses or physically grabbing your phone to steal its content or physically breaking into banks. These are thieves that are stealing your information at the comfort of their living rooms, or in this case, at the comfort of their warehouses. At the end of the operation by January 30, 2026, 651 arrests were made across the continent, and $4.3 million, multiply that by 16, give or take $2-3. That's then you have then you know, the conversion to Namibian dollars, $4.3 million. Now Namibia participated in this operation, because Namibia is one of the 16 countries, I believe, that participated. Because on the list of countries, if you know, one thing I like about this Interpol operation, more like information or more like articles, is that at the bottom they mostly provide participating member countries, because I think Namibia joined Interpol in 1998 and 1991 and 1992 there. Angola was part of Operation Red Card. Now, this is not the first operation that they, Interpol is heading, especially in relations to cyber criminals on the African continent. This is just one of them, and I picked this one because, well, we participated. And again, this is not the first one that we are participating in, as far as my information gathering gathering goes. This is the latest one I could find. Now, Angola was a part of it. You have Benin, Cameroon, Côte d'Ivoire or Ivory Coast, Chad, Gabon, Gambia, Ghana, Kenya, Namibia, Nigeria, Rwanda, Senegal, Uganda, Zambia, and Zimbabwe participated in Operation Red Card 2.0. Now, this is not, like I pointed out earlier, these are not your ordinary criminals that they're looking for. These are the guys that have mastered the art of stealing without physically accessing your computer, your cell phone, or without physically breaking into the bank. You know, the traditional way of stealing, of breaking into the bank, that's the old one. These guys have mastered the art of stealing from the comfort of their safe spaces. Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Help, with Helmut and Dwight, here to keep you company as usual from 4:30 to 6. Now it's 4:38, making it 22 minutes left to the hour of 5. So today we're going to talk about the cybercrime bill. Now, if you have been following this bill, then you know that it's as old as 2013. That's how old it is. It's been a topic of discussion back and forth. Now, you can actually, to some degree, not all the degree, like at 0.5% degree, you can understand why the sluggishness, because it's been, cyberspace is very personal. When you're talking about cyberspace, you're talking about a lot of private space that you're talking about. The NSA whistleblower, Edward Snowden, once said that before the invention of a smartphone, people used to say that a man's heart is it a heart or the mind is a world of its own. Well, to this day, all you just have to do is have access to someone's cell phone, and the information you can find in someone's phone can easily tell you who they are, what they like, what they don't like, what they frequently access. Now, which is why it's very easy to see. You know, it's very easy to tell what someone likes to look at online by just looking at their internet history. And you can look at their internet history, that's for one. You can look at you can look at the digital footprint, depending on how good you are at accessing this information, because most of it is buried deep for security purposes, of course, because you don't want me looking at what you are doing on the internet, and I don't want you looking at what I'm doing on the internet, because it's more often done at the privacy of our smartphones, our comfort of our living rooms, and this is our private space. Now, when you're talking about regulating the cyberspace, you are talking about regulating that space that's considered private by many, which translates into you can easily find yourself traversing the line between invasion of privacy and protecting someone from a space they don't fully understand, because let's face it, most of us don't understand a thing about cyberspace. A lot of us don't. Now, back to Operation Red Card before we get to the cyber crime bill, which have been, we have Lazarus to eat again. Did I mention it's from 2013? Yeah, that. Now, Operation Red Card, which was launched on the 8th of December 2025 and then was concluded on the 30th of January 2026, targeted infrastructure, because these are physical infrastructures and actors behind high yield investment schemes. These are, high yield as in the amount of money involved in this, these guys are not targeting, helmet. These guys are targeting your financial institutions. And we saw this with Hunters International, with Telecom Namibia and Hunters International's fiasco, let's just call it. At least that's my point of view on the subject. Terrain from the 8th of December to the 8th of December 2025 to the 30th of January 2026, and targeted infrastructure and actors behind high yield investment schemes, mobile money fraud and fraudulent mobile loan application. And during the 8 weeks operation, investments exposed schemes linked to over 45 million in financial losses and identified 1,247 victims. Now, this is a transnational crime. Translation, this is crime without borders. Most of the victims came from predominantly from the African continent, but it's also from other regions of the world. Authorities also seized 2,341 devices and took down 1,442 malicious IPs, IP domains. These are it's like your address, but on the internet. And, IPs, domains and servers, as well as, other related infrastructure. Now, here is, one thing that, goes to show. Now, cyber crime is like, climate change. It doesn't really, it's not limited by boundaries. Especially not physical boundaries. That means if I know how to operate a computer in malicious ways, I could be sitting here and robbing a retiree in Belgium. Just sitting here. Now, when you look at it like that, you begin to understand why legislations are needed. Because one in a million chances you catch them, like Interpol did here, and they're very good at rounding them up, because sometimes they work with cyber experts, like in one operation, I think it was this one when they were working with Kaspersky, Kaspersky. Last time I checked, Kaspersky is a Russian cybersecurity company, the same way that you have McAfee, Bitdefender. I understand McAfee must be American, Bitdefender is Romanian. All these are cybersecurity services. And boy, are they raking in millions, if not billions a year. So, the business model is, of cybersecurity is a very good one, because not a lot of us are going to be computer genius is to basically navigate the world of cyberspace. So that means we'll need, just a subscription, or back in my days, I'm not sure if they still have a CD that you just install and then constantly updating to make sure that your system or your setup, this both at work and at home, are safe. A lot of us, on the other hand, are just walking around with devices that are terribly insecure. Now, if smartphones were houses, a lot of us are walking around with houses that have no burglar doors, and most of them don't have locks at all, because a pattern that has a Z. Yeah, right. Now, so today's home run is going to be focusing on it's going to be focusing on the cyber crime bill. This is something that's coming, of course, all the way from 2013. And they said there's actually a reason behind why this is needed. I'm broke. What's the point? Well, money is not the only thing these malicious actors are after. There are a lot of scammers online, romance scammers, and you have, your internet fraud, the guys that are telling you you won a million even though you didn't play any game. Those are also, targeting unsuspecting victims. And now, remember, was that back in 2022 when our Minister of Defense was swindled 200K by one gentleman from, of all regions, the Zambezi region? And my favorite part that I like to point out, and if you're a regular listener, then you must have heard this before, that when he was asked, well, the Honorable, well, what up, what happened? He was like, well, he sounded very professional because he called claiming to call from Standard Bank. And one thing about scammers is that I think they are very good at psychology, and they are very good at identifying a target and how to navigate their way into the psyche of the target to get what they want. And more often they get it. So when a scammer is romance scammer or just a fraud one, they are very good at playing the part. They're very good at playing the part. Now, I'm about to murder someone here. Now, hey, what's up?
It's the other one.
Is it that hot outside?
Well, you know, if Yango decides to drop you halfway of everything, you know, you find yourself utilizing your 2x2 capabilities.
Yeah.
Your 2-cylinder efficiency.
Toyota.
Or Footzilla.
Yeah. You know? It's a little early, man.
Hey, man, I had to come in with that same momentum and gusto, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's primarily where we find ourselves. So yeah.
I decided to go a little bit into the, cyber crime across the continent, and that's which is also a transboundary type of crime, especially when you're talking about cyber crime. It's like climate change, it does not only impact one country, and it's not limited by physical borders.
It's actually the first time that we identified that particular common denominator between all countries in the world. Mm-hmm. That what you just said, it's similar to climate change.
Yeah, it is.
No one can escape it.
Yeah,
everyone is at risk. I mean, if all the economists on the internet, you should now see what the academic economists are now doing, Hamid. They go open up a YouTube channel and a YouTube profile. And then one of the first cyber commerce or e-commerce platforms that they attack by literally saying this thing has no value. There's no inherent value for you as the ordinary person.
Yeah.
Is guess which developing aspect? Cryptocurrency.
Oh.
Cryptocurrency is probably the biggest unregulated cyberspace, and primarily also because of the e-commerce potential that it holds. But it's also a platform that governments, they you have to convince them what is, you know, what is in the benefit for them, because the whole aim of the whole reason behind Bitcoin's start back in 2008 was primarily because the founders of Bitcoin, which is that guy, Satoshi Nakamoto, who no one in a court case could prove who is Satoshi Nakamoto. Mm-hmm. Literally, they went to court, two American white guys. And then the court just said, listen, none of you are doing an adequate enough job in terms of identifying who actually owns the pseudonym Satoshi Nakamoto. However, the thing just flourished.
Yeah, come on. It's definitely a pseudonym.
It is a pseudonym. And this thing is flourishing left, right, and center. Now, all neutral economists who are professors will tell you one thing and one thing from the get-go if you ask about the potential of cryptocurrency. They will all tell you it's a Ponzi scheme. They will all tell you it's a scam. And they will all tell you that it is something, unfortunately, that no one will insure you for if some slip-up happens. Look, for example, Hamoud, the police can protect you if you get, you know, if you get roughed up by the asset forfeiture department on payday.
Yeah.
They take your wallet because you went and decided to withdraw your whole salary, put it on in your wallet and walk around with it.
Because you have trust issues.
Exactly. But the whole aspect of the bank account was that it takes that level of risk away from you.
Yeah.
And that it gives you access whereby you get the access through your ATM card.
Yeah.
You then just have to go and swipe left and right and center. So they're also trying to promote the cashless developments by installing all these speed points and all these other particular, standard operating procedures from commercial entities by saying, listen, we don't want to deal with physical cash.
Yeah.
We want you to just transfer it through either a magnetic tape or a chip or a whatever through your bank card to our account. Straightforward stuff. However, when you get to cryptocurrency, you have to go through hell and high water, through valleys deep and mountains high, try to chart a plane or flight with a eagle, Lord of the Rings eagle that always saves, what's that guy's name? The wizard played by, I almost said Dumbledore, but Dumbledore was Harry Potter. What was the guy's name? I almost said Sauron. But anyway, Gandalf. Yeah, they always keep saving Gandalf. Those massive eagles. But when you look at the discussion of cyberspace has to emulate reality. Yeah. Now, Namibia, obviously, you know, just joining in the part primarily where you were highlighting the African context. Namibia is now firstly just for us, as for the listeners also to know, also because I also wrote the article 2 weeks back based upon the same development, is that we are only now getting the ball rolling in Namibia. But even today, Hamoud, I had to hear about the investment promotion bill that is hanging somewhere because there was a ministry that was in charge of that bill, and now another ministry who absorbed half of that other ministry has to now try and understand how does investment promotion play in their realm. Whereas you and I, back in our discussions before, back in 2024, before President Nandi Ndaitwa was actually won the elections, where you and I, we kept saying, listen, why are we splitting the function of trade from the function of international relations? Because Namibia's whole international relations discussion is about seeking trade.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to expand the relations.
Yeah, trade relations.
Yeah, with our existing, you know, those existing nations that we have these relations with. Now, obviously, we saw the first move. You and I, we cannot claim any victory in that regard, Helmut, because clearly the presidency didn't say that they listened to the home run in 2024. But we do feel chuffed. Don't worry. We at least know that we said, we made a statement in a way. However.
So proud of us.
Yeah. Because it literally sounds very familiar to what we were talking about back in 2024. But however, when it comes to the cybercrime discussion or cybersecurity for that matter, cybersecurity has got a, what do they call it? a tentacle or a tether attached to many modern day trade related and commercialization related activities in the country. You can't have, you cannot not have cybercrime or cybersecurity legislation for banking, because much banking internationally is a digital transference of money.
Yeah.
It's a cross-border. They also now call it a cross-border scenario. But then obviously Bank of Namibia went and only did their part while the members of parliament in the National Assembly were sleeping super tight, because they went and satisfied the Electronics Transaction Act, which is literally a financially induced cybersecurity act, without the rest of the cybersecurity realm. Now, we're only getting the ball rolling in 2026. Now, here is the humdinger of humdingers.
Mm-hmm.
So for 2 years, Helmut, while we were asking questions in the broader space of the Namibian discourse platform around where is cybersecurity, what is Namibia's plans on cybersecurity, and I have to be honest, I did not know that Namibia was waiting on the UN to start off a 2017 or 2019 resolution that Russia brought forward about cybersecurity.
So waiting for Baba.
It's not even Baba, Helmut. It's like waiting for the headmaster to first, you know, do all the protocol situations before you as the PE teacher can literally do your thing. But you're the PE teacher. You know what you've got to do.
Yeah.
Now, I asked the question at that workshop, that stakeholder engagement of MICT. How does the cybersecurity bill impact the Access to Information Act? How does it impact the Whistleblower Act? I keep forgetting that the Whistleblower Act is an active piece of legislation.
Yeah, no, it's active.
How does it impact the Data Protection Bill, which is also still in development, the same pipeline? And there was a fourth piece of legislation that I referenced, and I keep forgetting it. But when I asked that particular question, I think it's the deputy director from MICT stated, you've got to start from the Communication Act. I was like, the Communication Act regarding my security? Now, you would then have to ask, is the communication, yes, it was the Communication Act. That's the act that I kept forgetting. Because obviously MICT is the custodian of that particular act. Now, the Communication Act, Helmut, is also a little bit, I still have to scour that thing, in terms of, you know, weighing up its relativity, but the Communication Act speaks towards using devices, obviously, yes, and other particular aspects in terms of trying to protect people. But, this is the huge but. When I asked the question of why couldn't Namibia just copy and paste the GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation, which obviously has cybersecurity on one side and data protection on the other side, compressed into one, I was given the answer of, yeah, Namibia wants to stay sovereign. Maar hier is die ding, Helmut. Hier is die groot ding. What internet does Namibia create? Let me ask that critical question right there. What internet do we create?
Namibia wants to stay what now?
Namibia wants to have its own sovereignty or manage its own sovereignty, but we are drinking the same cough syrup that the rest of the world is drinking from a UN perspective.
No, I mean, you could have just asked him, what phone are you using?
Okay, let me give you a similar situation where Namibia forewent or foregoed or actually gave away sovereignty in its own direction.
Okay.
Signing the Samoa Agreement. We gave away sovereignty in terms of decisions we want to make through that discussion.
Dude, there's a lot of money at stake.
Of course there was a lot of money.
Yeah, in international trade, we had, you know, the markets we only have access to because of that signature.
Yeah, and who did we sign that agreement with Helmut. But before that, guys, we take the short break.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real. Just like Vintuk beer.
For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun podcast and cooler box thing where the best memories are made.
And for Vintuk beer, it's that barley hops and water thing. Let's raise a Vintuk beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
Welcome back. It's 5 o'clock on the dot. This is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM.
Okay, so just to end up on that particular point of the sovereignty perspective.
Yeah.
Now, the major partner that Namibia is now obviously aligning greatly with is the European Union through obviously this, you know, the just energy transition and all the other affiliated industrial developments.
Yeah.
The concern is, Hamoud, it's since you are signing such significant developmental agreements with one partner, you will obviously try to see how you can also align certain components with that one partner. Yes, for example, Namibia's big three biggest development partners is obviously China, Germany, and South Africa, and then the EU comes in number fourth, ne? But with the first three, you obviously try to have some format of standardization in terms of relations between both sides. So Namibia, China, Namibia, South Africa, Namibia, Germany. But now, you forgo sovereignty by, for example, and a second scenario, by, for example, not showing up at the IMO discussion about the International Maritime Organization's green agreement in terms of doing away with fossil fuels in shipping, in maritime shipping. And you go and join another discussion, for example, Namport and the Rotterdam Authority, Harbour Authority, went and presented a just energy situation somewhere else in a European continent. In that same week, Helmut, back in last year when the United States and the Saudis were attacking the IMO about that agreement, that green agreement, you go talk somewhere else about, you know, green transitioning and stuff like that. Now, in the essence of the big green transitioning discussion, whose idea is the just energy transition? It's the European Union's idea. South Africa is now also going, South Africa saw the largest investment by it last year, the 12 billion euros. Or was it 12 billion rand? One of the two in terms of currency denominators. Namibia has the other chunk, but Namibia is way smaller. And we are literally dancing to the tunes in those two regards. But on cybercrime, no, we want to be sovereign. We wish to have our own. Yeah, mar. All these other things don't speak of sovereignty.
Yeah, just go, it's not just that. Just go to the foundation. Namibia's law is Roman, Dutch, and English.
First time, J. Helmut. First, and do you know why?
So you're telling me you can adopt a constitution but not an act?
Do you know why we've got those weird things? I know you know why, but it's for the listener to know. Because do you think, let's for example say the people from the Mafu would have accepted traditional laws, let's say from any of the Galps from the Nama clans and tribes?
No,
they wouldn't.
I don't think the Nama would have said, okay, you know, I just welcome everything from the Ambugushu, Kwangari laws.
Exactly.
They would have gone with, like, you know what, we have ours here.
There would have been chaos.
Yeah.
There would have been complete chaos. Now, obviously,
that's actually a good point, because bringing in a neutral one just makes us go, you know what, okay.
Everybody just, plays by the same rules.
Exactly.
It's like FIFA. You play by the same rules. Handball here, handball in Divundu is handball in Gibeon is handball.
Handball everywhere.
In Leonardville is handball in, what's that place's name that I went to in the Namib Desert? Utuseb. Handball is handball. Straightforward. The rules are universal.
Yeah.
Come to cybercrime.
Look, when it comes to the GDPR, now, the GDPR for me, like format wise, now you have to understand that this coming out of the EU. This is an economic block of 27 countries. That's why the GDPR, when you look at it, it's basically a template. It's not a completely cooked law that you just have to adopt like 100% of it. Now, this is a template. You're just supposed to copy, edit, and paste. Problem with Africa is we just like, you know, copy and paste. Now, you're supposed to just copy, edit, and paste. Now, I think if you look at the GDPR, it's the same, you know, the GDPR and the EITI discussion, they're somewhat the same. Yeah. They are, you know, they have already existing templates for member, you know, for member states. Now, if you would like to adopt their strategy, you can just, well, start using that. Now, look, we can come up with our own, with our own way of doing things, like Namibia's own, you know, version of the GDPR. Well, how long has it been so far?
More than 10 years. The last time we spoke with Rosvita, remember?
Yeah.
That was what, 2023? No, 2024. So that, at that stage was more than 12 years? Aye, more than 10 years?
Yeah. Like, okay, I managed to trace it back to as far as 2013.
Yeah.
Now, we are
sitting here. Oh yeah, because in 2012 they still had the first ICT policy. The one that started in 2012 to run from there to whenever. In between, there's been so many ICT policy. But yeah, you were saying, Helmut.
Yeah, now, this is my favorite part about how I think not very serious we are taking this. Let's first go back to the audios of the gentleman, the audios you shared. The gentleman is it from Kenya?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was also a little bit, because I also sat there wondering, Kenya?
Yeah.
And then, do you know what were some of the criticisms?
Yeah.
That literally the draft bill that I shared with you, everything was copy and pasted from somewhere else, apparently from a Kenyan perspective. So the piece of draft that showed up there, that engagement where I was, had shillings and indications of some Kenyan legislation components put in it. And this makes things weird because as a Namibian perspective, Helmut, you obviously start from Namibia's constitution when you start with legal drafting.
Yeah.
Do you know what's also the other part? It wasn't him presenting the draft because the lady from the legal drafting department, that presented the UN convention part in the start of the presentations, she was presenting the UN side of things.
Which is
from Ministry of Jha. Yeah.
So that means Kenya must have gotten it from the UN room.
Probably, yes. And Ministry of Justice's person that was presenting the UN convention side of things, left the UN draft, left the Namibia draft bill presentation to the consultant. That's now the Kenyan guy to present said particular, guys, I'm not hammering on the, what you call it, the citizenship or the nationality of this consultant, because it could be from anywhere. It's just a scenario probably to try and see who has aligned with the UN convention based upon what they were discussing. But it leaves every country. That's what the convention says. It leaves every country up to its own machinations to implement its own cybersecurity discussion the way they see it.
Yeah, that's basically how the UN operates, like at its core, even when it comes to governance.
Oh.
They're not going to say, adopt this mode of governance or just adopt this or, you know, structure a constitution. They will do that, but, they will just say adopt any form of governance you want to go with. As long as it's centered around the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's centered around the people, voting their representative governance, because the UN is all about what? Representative governance. Which is why, a lot of people actually are shocked to find out that the word democracy is not mentioned in the UN Charter. Not once. But, Yeah, but we're seeing it every day. Democracy, democracy. Now, now but it's nowhere near. But
good thing you mentioned that part.
Yeah, but it does open with we the people. Yeah, it does open with we the people, emphasizing that the organization is centered around just adopt any mode of governance you want to adopt, as long as representatives come to power by being elected by the people. That's all. You can call it whatever you want, as long as the people are involved in getting their representatives elected. Then, well, you're good to go. Now, the same can apply to things like, things like cybersecurity laws or cybercrime laws, for example. Yeah, the UN is not going to shove stuff down your neck, down your throat. They would just provide a template that you can basically modify to suit your environment.
Yeah.
And the same, and you see the same thing when it comes to energy transition. Not all countries have the same strengths in terms of, in terms of energy. Namibia has wind. Albania has surface water. You can't tell, if the UN, said everyone should install wind turbines.
Yeah.
Namibia would benefit a lot because we have a lot of strong winds. For countries like Albania, for example, with a lot of surface water but probably not strong winds, they'll be like, "What are we supposed to do?"
Yeah.
So Namibia will adopt the energy transition by looking at the environment and seeing, this is our strength in terms of energy transition. We have a lot of wind. We have a lot of sunlight exposure per year compared to a lot of countries, especially in the Northern Hemisphere. So energy transition is, is the same. A template is provided. Governance is the same. A template is provided. And now a governance, this is not just a governance as in the constitution of respective countries that are member states to the UN, but also you can also factor in, legislations like the cybercrime. Bill, for example.
Mm.
Yeah, the UN is not going to say just adopt this. And now you have to understand this organization is headquartered in New York. They would be following the template that's in a country that we are nowhere near politically or economically. Can you imagine how difficult it would be to adopt to that? So, for me, I think, getting the template is not getting a template is a brilliant idea. But I don't get the whole sovereignty part. Not to criticize, but I don't get it. If it was Sunday, I'd be cooking. But now, when you look at it, you begin to see one thing, especially from the audios that you just shared, that it's very easy to look at things like, when you're talking about cyberspace, regulating cyberspace, you have to understand you are talking about modes of communication. You have your smartphones, your computers and all this. And these things are loaded with personal information. At this point, the regulation must be done in a very careful way that, because you are basically walking on a tightrope between, making people safe in the digital space and invading their privacy.
That too, yes. And obviously we also have to identify the, cyber response task force that operates on a bill. Now, this means that the bill that they were operating on is obviously a different bill versus the bill that, was brought forward to the MIC discussion.
If it's a bill, they are not operating.
They exist. The team exists, but the team, like you and I have many times said,
for the love of God,
this team cannot arrest anyone. They cannot.
Yeah.
Because there's no legislation.
Yeah.
A bill doesn't qualify taking someone to
a judge will punch you in the face. If you just stand,
you're coming here with a half a thing to me.
Yeah, but my lord, according to this bill, which is not signed by the president yet,
or even has been debated and approved by the National Assembly yet, I am arresting XYZ party for hacking a server. Oh wow. Really? A bill.
Mm-hmm.
You're coming to me with a bill. Never.
And also one very strict legal principle, especially in criminal law, is that you can't arrest someone based on laws that will be made in the future. No, you can't do that. You can only do that on existing laws.
Weather forecasting situation.
No, you can't forecast and arrest.
You can't have the person in you can't have arrested them already and say, I am waiting for that bill to be passed so that I can prosecute you.
As soon as they sign them, we'll attend to you. Just, hang in tight. No, no. The reason why this whole cyber crime bill discussion is worth having is on the 29th of January, this year, the Ministry of Information and Communication Technology, MITF, launched a 5-year strategic plan. Now this is a strategic plan that will guide the framework that outlines ministry's strategic priorities in shaping Namibia's digital transformation, and this was done in Opuwo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's where she said that someone is saying, passing false information to the chiefs there that the ministry was going to steal land. At the same event. Boy, did I enjoy that part. Now,
Oh, it was when I was on leave most. When you had the discussion.
The lady became a comedian without knowing it.
Wait. So, someone was spreading false information that apparently MICT was coming to host an event whereby they will steal land.
Because during the launching was done, they also did inaugurate some towers that were erected.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, those towers, I think the contractors that were given, the tender to build the towers ran into some issues where they started tearing things like someone, the ministry was coming to steal land. Because when the minister said now in her speech that when we give someone a contract to come and set up a tower and they are running into people that are thinking that the ministry is maybe I think going through them to steal land, but no, we're just here to set up the physical infrastructure that that is needed to for the universal digital connectivity.
I think Kunene must just stay with no lights on, seriously.
Hey, they have 5G now.
If that's the level of...
Under the launched strategic plans, the ministry undertakes, this is in January, put that in mind, undertakes to implement the 5 pillars, which is pillar number 1 of this, of the communication, of the 5-year strategic plan. Pillar number 1 would be digital infrastructure expansion. Mm. Not stealing land, no, digital infrastructure expansion.
Mm.
Now, and you have number 2 is innovation and digital skills. Now, digital skills development. Now, that is a long overdue, if you ask me. And efficiency in service delivery, policies and legislation. If you ask me, they should have started with policy and legislation, then physical infrastructure expansion. But, 13 years, we are still in a bill, physical infrastructure expansion we are doing. So far, so good. But the regulation of the chaos that will ensue because of the physical infrastructure expansion, we are not there yet.
Mm.
Talk about having a cart in front of a horse. Now.
And this time the cart is pulling the horse.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah, never forget about getting jobs in that.
We won't even if we start political parties ourselves, we will never even be voted for because they will just go, is that the home run squad? Those two guys. And people say yes. They know too much, ne?
You'll apply for a job interview even if you are not qualified. They will call you. We need to talk to this guy.
We want some ideas from you.
What's your name? Come in, please. Thank you very much. So it's you. That'd be your
Oh, you are the person who was making those jokes about us.
Yeah. So the amazing thing is that on the ICT ministry, I don't want to say MICT ministry, that's like saying, ATM machine. Well, the M in ATM is for machine.
But we all say it anyway.
A PIN number.
The N in PIN is number.
I know. Very painful mistakes.
Or ID card.
Yeah.
No, there's no card in ID.
ID. ID card. No, ID is just ID card is just fine. Now you have digital infrastructure expansion, and you have innovation and digital skills development, and you have efficiency in service delivery. Now, innovation and digital skills development is it takes me back to that gentleman said in the presentation, the story he was telling about the Kenyan service member who took her own life after making
the soldier
yeah
after sending nudes.
Yeah, to the side guy, from what I understand. Because what? she had a permanent one, I think they were in the process of getting married.
She was engaged to someone, but she sent it to someone who went and plastered it further onto social media.
Yeah.
And that obviously was sort of like the humiliation that she didn't
anticipate. That she couldn't stand, unfortunately, just.
Well, you know. That's why they all say life is about choices.
Yeah.
WhatsApp comes with a wonderful function, guys. It's a view once function. Do you know what WhatsApp even does?
Mm-hmm.
That view once, you can't even take a photo anymore.
My homie and I will have a workaround.
No, they improved because of, they discovered that people would take another photo.
They would take another phone
to take a photo.
Uh-huh.
And then WhatsApp realized this was a major problem in cybersecurity. So now your phone through WhatsApp detects the other phone.
The other phone's camera,
So now, sure, if you do things by WhatsApp, for those listeners listening out there, if you do such funny things,
mm-hmm.
you are safe now. Now. Back then, yeah.
Or, nah, nothing.
Ramon, what are you forcing?
nothing. It's just my evil plans coming up. All right, quick break. Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. 23 past the hour of 5. This is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Before we continue, let's take a live read. Get your kicks from ShopRite Liquor Shops, a Smirnoff 1818 original vodka for only $159.99. Harry's Whiskey and Gordon's Dry Gin for $179.99 each. KWV 3-year-old brandy for $199.99. Richelieu brandy for $189.99. And J&B Scotch whiskey for just $239.99. Please don't drink and drive. ShopRite Liquor Shops care. Now, back to a cyber security, back to a cyber crime bill.
Mm.
So, traversing the line between protecting people and not invading their privacy, especially in digital space, that's a very thin line. But now on the strategic, on the 5-year strategic plan of the of MICT, one thing that I just picked up that I really thought I really think we should have started with is first of all the policy. And, the policy and then the more like the computer literacy.
Mm.
Yeah. Because, There's a lot of, you know, the internet space is one that is provides a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
But it's also a very dangerous space. Because, not just because of the hackers, but boy, did he tell a lot of stories about.
But it's stories that we can relate to even in Namibia.
Yeah.
And it's basic things, for example, wherein you need to know about what's that, I almost said media literacy, but it's the other one for digital media. Literally cyber literacy.
Yeah.
You know, just being able to know the pros and cons that unfortunately, if you go and share some, lovely content with the wrong person, then, things can go astray. And there've been examples here in Namibia, for example.
Did he just say, my father is Gaddafi. He left me a lot of millions. And if you send me your account number.
No, not that kind. That is Mr. Four, the 401 scam was that the Nigerians began with.
Yeah.
Which is a emailing scam. But this, what I'm talking about is literally the use of the technology to create some sort of a disharmony, discord, or some sort of a discomfort or inconvenience with someone else.
Yeah.
It's literally what the cybersecurity realm is supposed to achieve. It's not just the high tech. Hacking of databases and stealing of information, that can be done by just sending someone a dodgy email. And you hope that your attempt sticks somewhere else.
So in other words, you just cast it like a net.
Basically, yeah. Whereas with cybersecurity legislation, what I'm trying to see now, for example, look at what the UK is now doing, the UK and Australia.
Yeah.
Remember Australia last year brought out legislation that bans
social media use for
all teenagers.
Under 15s, I think.
Yeah, from 15 or 16-year-olds down.
Yeah.
So that means your child cannot own in Australia a social media account, dear listeners.
Yeah.
Let me say it again. Your 15 or 16-year-old child and below cannot own a social media account. That means
I think Spain followed this year.
The Spain then followed. Then the UK came out with this, which is the one that many companies are trying to combat.
because they're using
No, because the UK one is like a broad reaching one.
Ooh.
So what happens, Helmut, is what these legislation these guys have done, these lawmakers, is they went and decided on something without consulting the private sector.
Mm.
Now, Namibia is still doing something correct by consulting both public and private. But, for example, in the UK sense, the UK guys just went and said, yeah, we'll bring out this legislation that now all companies...
Just sweep across.
All companies, doesn't matter where you are, must now ask for some sort of age verification process.
Yeah.
And then there's the other cybersecurity component of the UK, where you can get arrested for making an offensive tweet or an offensive Facebook post or an offensive what's that other platform? A Facebook X and
IG.
And Instagram, yeah. An Instagram and a WhatsApp post.
Yeah.
So if you post, and this can be anything from ranging from the extreme of sharing inappropriate material, which can include nude images and the likes, and or profane language or foul language, to making racist comments or sharing libelous content, meaning saying something which is not factual or true about another person's character, defaming them, stuff like that, and then you're obviously sharing it on your platforms. That's now what the UK is now doing, where literally people are locked up for an opinion on a subject matter. But in some cases, you can see they're just saying it to start some sort of a political discord online, because you've got those people that literally just start fights for no reason online on social media. And then the person got arrested by the police like 15 minutes later. Literally.
Yeah, that's a very...
So what the private companies have done, for example, in the UK space since last year, the private companies have now all just gone and put up these age verification mechanisms on their websites. So everything from adult centered websites with their spicy content, all the way to the basic sort of like trade, betting, social media platforms have now, everyone has just gone and acted something. But they did everything like in a rush.
Mm.
Now, what this obviously means is the comparison between what Namibia is trying to do. Yes, it's at a snail's pace. Yes, it's slow. Sometimes it falls off the bus somewhere and we have to go find out who remembered to pick it up at the bus stop where it fell off from. But at least we are trying to get, and I'm not defending the Ministry of ICT in this regard because I'm slightly annoyed by how slow we are moving, but they're actually doing something by inviting stakeholder inputs and stakeholder engagements. For example, Amut, in that recording, remember the people that were defining and constantly putting up various definitions of authorization or having authorization to access certain kinds of information sets, or even from a university perspective where programming students have to be taught how to hack. Because if you did not know, dear listeners, at university level, IT students or programming students are taught to test the integrity, the security integrity of programming.
Yeah.
So when they put up a program on the internet space, you've got to test whether it is resilient enough against the common attacks out there, the common cyber attacks.
Yeah, because they're going to come.
Exactly. They're going to happen nonetheless. And, in some cases, you've got to do this in a real testing world. For example, like you would give a mechanic student at a VTC the opportunity to work on a real engine, change the oils. What do you do if this particular part has an issue, or you need to see that particular part has suffered wear and tear? What do you do? Because you need to give the note that real world analytical capabilities to identify issues, apply the remedies. From the remedies, what do you do then to see if everything else works? You go test, and you do that.
Really, that's like giving a bunch of lock picking tools to
a thief,
thief in training to just test how, which one is the best lock for your house.
And what was the suspicion? If you could talk to any police officer, do you know who are the thieves in training?
Who are the thieves in
training? They sometimes work on construction sites.
So they know their way around most.
I'm sorry, guys, but it is one of the biggest. Even if you talk to any security consultant here in Namibia, Jan Vintuk, about break-ins, house break-ins and stuff like that. There's always where you find a house break-in. The previous week or the previous weeks before that was when there was a construction crew.
There were renovations
in the neighborhood. And those guys had time to observe, check security integrity of the surrounding properties, or they come back to the property that they were working on.
Oh no, my favorite part of those guys is, I think it happened, in January in Rocky Crest, where a bunch of guys, pretended they stopped at a neighborhood and they said they were selling something. I think they were quickly spotted. They tried to get away. I think it was in a black Mazda Demi or something.
Wasn't it the red Mazda
Demi?
Even made a joke on your WhatsApp about the red Mazda Demi.
The car overturned. Their getaway car, I think they were involved in an accident. Yeah. But you know, my favorite part of that story is what they told the homeowner, would have been a victim, I think, if she wasn't quick to spot that something was fishy.
Yeah.
You know what they said they were selling?
What?
Interlocks. What? I'm not sure if they were saying they were selling or they fixed something like that.
Oh my goodness.
Of all things.
And you need four guys. You need four guys to do that?
Okay, first of all.
How heavy is an interlock?
Here's the thing. Even if my interlocks needs, replacing, there's no way you're showing up with a hatchback. What size are those interlocks to fit in that thing?
The worst story ever.
You guys have got to learn how to lie. But, look. Going back to the GDPR and the cybercrime.
Yeah.
The reason why I think this is just my point of it. The GDPR is actually a brilliant piece of work.
Mm.
Is that just look at access to information only, because that's where it starts.
Mm.
First of all, information gathering takes place every day. information gathering takes place every day. When you are going to, you are going to a computer shop, for example, to get your documents scanned. Yeah. They scan everything, then they, of course they're going to scan your documents, and then they will ask you for your, for your USB, and they will put it in their computer, then they will give you, what happens, because, it's not scanned directly into your USB. It's scanned on the hard drive of that computer.
Mm.
How do they dispose of it? That's where the GDPR comes in. So it basically points out that, once you have access to people's private information, like their ID, banking details, or private information like their driving license, their passport, for example.
Mm.
How, there are stipulated methods of how you acquire these things. And once you acquire them, specific, places you must store them. Now, when it comes to storage of private information, and that's, believe me, Shakati courtroom doka pops up again. You can't have a courtroom that's storing legal documents of people's private informations just open like that for months on end.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, the GDPR tries to basically lays down, the ways in which information should be accessed. Now, take for example, if I book a hotel room and do something, and commit a crime in that, in a room or in a room of one, in one of the rooms in that hotel, you can't just walk to the reception and say, give me information on this person. We're told that he was, he booked in this information. We are investigating him.
Yeah.
No, of course you need a warrant. They are not going to hand it to you because there are procedures, there are legal ways they are required to give you that information. You can't just walk to a shop and start telling them that, I need access to your CCTV. They will tell you, well, why should we listen to you?
And who are you?
Yeah, that's what. Who are you?
First I ask you, who are you?
Yeah.
No, I am police. What? Dressed in plain clothes. Prove that you are police.
And also,
now you stand there lying, busy committing a crime, pretending to impersonate a police officer, and now you can't even motivate why you wish to see CCTV.
So this is the legal document. This is a warrant signed by this judge that's giving me, that's giving me the power to ask you to give me access to your CCTV because we believe the person of this and this and this and this character was here. So, yes, they are collecting the information. Every time that you walk in a store that has CCTV, they have a storage where they're storing all this information. Now, they can't just hand it to anyone that comes asking. They are required to follow certain procedures because not everyone that will come asking for information really means well. And the painful thing is if you look at the marshals in the US? Those, the guys that work with witness protection.
Are you talking about the U.S. Marshals?
Yeah, the U.S. Marshal, yeah.
Yeah. Those guys are almost on the level of the FBI, meaning they can literally work outside of the country and inside the country.
Yeah, and those guys have they are well equipped and well trained, and that's for, they work in witness protection.
Yeah.
So, protecting a witness, especially from a witness in high profile case, you need a lot of resources because if the people involved are high profile, that means they also have high reach. You don't want to be the witness protection guy who keeps losing witnesses.
Of course, because that's a lot of suspicion.
That's a lot of suspicion. Do they have you on their payroll? So, the reason why you have all these, methods of acquiring. Now, you can understand that, your grocery store, for example, that has CCTV, they don't have infinite server where they store all that information. Some of it, like, the old ones, how do they dispose of it? They don't just take the hard, they can't just take the hard drives of the, where they have all the CCTV storage and then toss it in a landfill somewhere.
Mm.
Because you don't know who is picking it up and if they have access to it, what they can do with that information. So there are specific way of acquiring information. Now, of course, they have that CCTV and They can't put spy cameras in there without telling you that they're surveilling you.
Do you know what's the worst or the most disheartening thing that I experienced because of CCTV? No. This is an unfortunate reality that I encountered, and I feel sorry for any other car owner that has experienced a car break-in. I won't mention names specifically.
Not to mention any names.
Where the facility is, but I went to go watch a movie. Specifically, it was one of these international movies sponsored by the Japanese embassy. Went to go watch a movie. It was on a Friday night, 2017 or 2018. Get there. I'm ready. I just want to relax, you know, after work. You just want to relax. Just watch this movie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, go home after that. Come back. I didn't realize that that specific part of that mall, that other parking lot of the same mall, was not the place that you should park past 6 o'clock.
Because there's supposed to be security guards there.
Yeah, there was. There was. I'm getting there now. And then the unfortunate thing is, I left my bag, which is a messenger. It's that bag.
Yeah, that's an invitation. Yeah.
Left it in the car with my camera. But I left it, sort of like on the, where the feet are, where you rest your feet in the car.
Yeah.
Because you sometimes, because it's, they've, the bag, the two bags have got, dark fabric, so you don't easily see it.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to me specifically, that I gave ample time for the particular burglar to come and, you know, look into the car and then obviously could make out shapes in the car. Punched out my passenger left window, grabbed both bags, because obviously the big bag looks like it has a laptop in it, but all it had was just my school books. I was at that stage, I was still doing my Chinese, my Mandarin at UNAM. And I also had other classes, because I interchanged between UNAM and NUST.
Yeah.
Dude, I had to write an exam that Friday.
Oh.
The Saturday. I had to write the Mandarin language exam on the Saturday. Lost the bag on the Thursday. And I had to study in between. I was so, I really feel sorry for any person that has experienced that scenario. And I see every December, né, like before Christmas and after Christmas, you'll sometimes see a lot of cars that have like a weird window that was broken, covered with sellotape and a plastic bag over it. Then, you know, they left something in the car primarily, which, you know, became us
attracted
now,
the,
attracted the asset forfeiture squad.
So let me get this straight. You had Chinese Mandarin exam on Saturday.
The Saturday. And the next week, ne, I would have started with my NUST exams. Full on. Now, here's the crux of the matter.
Holy cow.
When I asked the securities that were there, because they patrol most this mall facility.
Yeah.
Can I see your CCTV and can I go and register a case and then get the CCTV as well? I was told be here before 5 a.m. tomorrow morning because by 7 a.m. they delete the previous day's CCTV. I stood there looking at these two guys like, what? Are you serious? They said, yeah.
What the?
And then I just went like, okay, you know what? Just to satisfy my the insurance claim so that the insurance can fix the window.
Yeah.
I just went and registered the case with the police.
Yeah.
Got the case number and just, you know, went on with my life because I'm not waking up at 5 a.m. to go and get something before 7 a.m. when they delete the previous day's particular recordings. I just said no. Because exactly what you just mentioned there, Helmut, is exactly a situation that I personally experienced, you know, when an act of a crime or a crime has been committed.
Mm-hmm.
And then in between there, the mall facility still has that sign posted up everywhere. Do you know that I actively went and looked for that sign in the mall, which says, if you park in our space or in our mall, just know that whatever happens to you on our premises, we are not liable for you, for what happens to you, which is a weird disclaimer. It's a weird disclaimer to say because firstly, you're inviting consumers to come to a particular semi-public space.
And they're going to be responsible for what happens to their property.
Yeah. But then, they, you know,
there are unsavory characters of the asset forfeiture nature, which obviously, you know, also makes use of these particular facilities, and then they commit these various acts. Now, immediately, that also throws any particular liability claim out of the window, because the moment you see that, but before that, we've got an ad break.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real, just like Vintook beer.
For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun podcast and cooler box thing where the best memories are made.
And for Vintook beer, it's that barley, hops and water thing. Let's raise a Vintook beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back. 14 minutes left to the hour of 6. That's when we, of course, hand over to business and economic segment. But before we continue, another live read. Get your kicks from ShopRite Liquor Shops, a Smirnoff 1818 original vodka for $159.99. Harry's Whiskey and Gordon Dry Gin for $179.99 each. A KWV 3-year-old brandy for $199.99. Richly brandy for $189.99. And J&B Scotch Whiskey for just $239.99 each. Please don't drink and drive. ShopRite Liquor Shops. Care. Flu.
What about the flu?
It's showing me flames. Same way that divorce is showing Wintu Kendo Shakati flames.
Look.
You want your marriage to last? Run out of Wintu Kendo Shakati?
No. Look, with divorce now.
Yeah.
Divorce is a complicated animal, Helmut, because unless you go read each one of those court filings case by case individually, you will understand what were the influencing factors, the major factors that led to the divorce. And in many cases, you'll find that it's the wife that is sick and tired of some sort of behavioral component of our gender.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, our gender is not innocent when it comes to divorce, Helmut.
We're known for that.
Even the red pill society of the internet that keeps saying, yeah, who brings up divorce the most? And they say, yeah, it's women. Yeah, and now ask yourself, why did your wife bring up the suggestion of divorce?
You know what? In the 2024 Dissolution of Marriage Act, they just decided, you know what? We don't care who did what. All we want to know is, like if you look at section 1 to 4, what they're just looking at is, can you guys fix it or not? Whatever happened, we don't want to know. Mm. Can you fix it or not?
No, but
if you say yes, they're going to give you 3 months. If you say no, then okay, please sign here. Goodbye.
Yeah. No, but it's most the reason why, what's her name? The former Minister of Justice at the time, Dowsup, where she motivated in National Assembly that divorce proceedings take too long. And divorce.
Yeah, because the previous act before the amendment in 2024 was a fault based one. That means you had to prove who was addicted to gambling, alcohol, babysitter. Yeah, you have to prove.
And you literally had to have receipts of these things.
Yeah.
But now it's based upon.
I found them in the shower. How am I supposed to have receipts on that?
That too, you know. Or then the situation, like you now explained it, is now a case of. Listen, if there is just no way that this relationship can be repaired, you guys have to move on.
Yeah.
But it should not be the costs associated to moving on or dissolving this marriage.
Yeah.
Should not be moving a mountain. It shouldn't be about moving the whole Awas Mountains into Ocho Zonchupa and back.
That's usually what happens when one or both of you, especially under the fault system, if one or both of you are being petty, it can drag on for years.
Yeah.
And that also brings back to the conversation around what regime you would like to get married under. And a lot of couples don't have that conversation because it's considered.
Yeah, but since this has come in, I've learned specifically. Yeah. Do it with what's the two contracts? In community and out of community.
Yeah, yeah.
Do out of community.
That's where a lot of couples fight over.
Do
for the most part.
Look, if she is marrying to get access to what I have, then obviously I can see what her character is like.
No, people don't understand just how beautiful out of community is because you know
it simplifies things. Yeah,
it's left up to you.
Yeah.
Both of you, like, this we are going to split. This we are not going to split. This is my family heirloom.
Yeah.
You know, in the event of a divorce, we are not splitting this.
Yeah.
Now,
or you don't get 50% of it.
Yeah.
Or I am not forced to resell to sell off the heirloom just so that you could have 50% of the value of the thing.
Yeah. But no. If you are jumping in head in first with in community because.
Baby, I love you. Oh, uh-huh. I love you too, baby. And then poof, paf, 6 months later. You are just an alcoholic. And I'm like, but you're also an alcoholic alongside me. I don't like you anymore. And then it's just a situation of, I don't want a divorce. And you're like, where does this come from? I'm coming home from work at 5 and you're ambushing me with divorce talks.
Sweetheart.
And then she's like, no, you are just the worst person. And so on. You hear that the whole street knows how bad you karma are.
Yeah.
And you don't even know when people had the time to actually run this negative PR game against you. But for some reason, your name is just in the doldrums and in the mud at the same time. And what can you do from there? Because it literally shows that the relations just went literally
sour.
Sour. There was another term I almost used, but no, for the sake of ensuring that Gran doesn't show up here tomorrow morning at 8, we stick to sour.
No, look, the thing is no one screams these days. It just goes straight on Instagram. This guy is terrible in bed.
Which is a cybercrime.
That's a cybercrime of the highest order.
That's a cybercrime. That is literally a cybercrime.
Okay, now you people must hurry up.
I just watched a WhatsApp one also.
You people must hurry up with this bill.
Another girl posted some weird stuff here. I can't say the sentences, please guys. Even though she didn't use any sort of like foul language, it's just, the idea that it espouses. Now, if Dwight says it here live on air, it'll just make Dwight and Eagle FM look bad. And then I'm the one answering questions, so no. But you see it a lot, especially on WhatsApp statuses and on Instagram reels. You see it a lot. Now, and it's as if people don't have a filter, Helmut.
Yeah.
Look, would you literally go and, I don't know, do weird stuff in public? If you are posting weird stuff on your social media platforms.
Look, that's my favorite part about social media. People will lock the gate and all the windows and doors, take off their clothes and dance naked on camera and then put it on TikTok. Why the heck did you even close the door?
Worst part is still, they shared with their friends who shared with their friends. Uh-huh. And then it comes up to someone's parents and then the parents have their own WhatsApp group going like, it says, is this your daughter?
Oh no, look, I've come to learn that a lot of parents don't know that their kids have multiple Instagram accounts. Because the one that they give their parents is the one where they have, you know, holding the Bible at church, smiling with the pastor.
Do you know what Facebook does, Hamut? Facebook, because Namibia is just 3 million Namibians. They are just 3 million Namibians. Guys, do you know how easy it is for Namibians to connect with each other on Facebook? Facebook will suggest to you people that you did not even attend school in the same era that you were on school even. Just because both of you have a common denominator or commonality of being at the same school, but at different periods. For example, I could have been finished high school in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
The person could have finished high school in 2012.
But you just went to the same high school.
But just because we listed that we were at the same high school, now we get suggested to each other.
You have 5 mutual friends.
Somernetswa. Or you get to another situation. Let's say you don't even know these friends of your cousins, but your cousin's friends are now being suggested to you.
Yeah.
And then you find out the cousin has a sister who has a Instagram account that gets suggested to you on your Instagram account. You know, those suggested accounts.
Yep.
And there you find out the person has a double split personality situation, you know. There's a church side and then there is...
Yeah, I have met those.
Spicy spice. Nam spice, however.
Yeah, don't be afraid of church girls. Leave me. Okay.
Why are we mentioning church girls? Don't give away the church girls.
Give away? Yeah. We live in a Christian dominant, at least we like to say that.
Or
Christian
act the part,
environment, yeah. You know, we very good at acting the part.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a, I know month end is coming. It's a, how many days left?
It's 4 weeks away. We're not even done with this week.
Yeah, no. I've seen the, you know, I've seen the unemployment statistics.
We can't be talking about month end at the start of the month.
That's not how I lose my job.
On day two of this month. But yeah, okay, yeah, okay, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah,
fair
now, we have 5 minutes to basically wrap this up. It's been, it's been, since 2013, we have been having the discussion of cybercrime. And so far from the look of, from the launch of the, you know, the ministry, the MICT's, strategic, the 5-year strategic plan that, the digital connectivity, especially in terms of physical infrastructure, is being, you know, is, well, there's some degree of progress taking place in that department.
Mm.
But there's not a lot of progress being observed in terms of regulating what the, you know, regulating the environment that we are giving people access to.
Yeah.
Because one thing that is also, you know, that's been, you know, that's a very known, but it's also something that I found in the, you know, in the UN link you just shared. Was that, the more connectivity, digital connectivity, you know, comes with a lot of opportunities. Was that, last year or a year ago, when Meta was threatening to withdraw out of Nigeria, one of the discussions that the Nigerian government had to have was, if Meta withdraws out of Nigeria, what are the alternatives that we're going to make for people that makes a living from these platforms?
And remember, that was just based upon a third party representing Meta.
Yeah.
Who was threatening on behalf of Meta, the regulator. Remember, you and I, we still did that conversation.
Yeah, we did have that conversation.
And at the heart of that conversation was primarily that the Nigerian government had updated their cybersecurity and data protection legislation.
Yeah.
So it means the updated legislation needed that third-party entity to literally disclose certain, you know, parts of – they were required to act on something.
Yeah.
And that's just now where the legal standoff supposedly happened from.
Now, there are a lot of opportunities that you can, there are a lot of opportunities that comes with digital connectivity. But, digital connectivity also comes with a lot of risks in a way that, when you don't have digital connectivity, when you are just dealing with the physical world, you know, the digital one, the only Tura boys you have to worry about are literal Tura boys. But if once you have digital connectivity, now you have to worry about, Beijing boys, you have to worry about, Lagos boys, you have to worry about.
Yeah, yeah, I almost walked into a Beijing boy situation last week.
Oh boy.
It's an international platform. I won't mention what kind of platform. Mm-hmm. And, you can chat to each other and then the person just sends me, firstly they ask for my WhatsApp number. I said, okay, fine. WhatsApp. Here you go. Let's see what's going on here. And then a photo pops up and then I see that the photo and the profile photo don't match. And I'm like, how can you say this is you if I can see there, it's not you even.
These scammers these days are very lazy.
Oh no, they are. And then they start doing weird things or I kept telling the person, listen, I can see that you can read English. Why are you speaking in German to me? I mean, what's going on? You can just speak English.
Yeah.
So yeah, and from there just went to block number and report and block to Meta, and that's just literally where we stay. The concern obviously is this, Helmut, that cybersecurity legislation, data protection legislation, shouldn't stop people from communicating or using devices to communicate.
Yeah,
because at the heart, that's why ICT exists. It's about communication.
But if you show up there doing nefarious things, and the word nefarious technically is a pretty broad and vague word that I'm using, because you can think of anything in that regard.
Yeah.
Please understand, it's a decision, it's an active decision that you make. Life is about choices. You know, there was a lecture I had, her punchline every time in the class was, life is about choices. And then it was, and then she would look at me and the two other guys that were sitting next and behind me, because, look, I wasn't always an angel. You know, we were practical jokers in some way or another during the lesson.
That's why I don't listen to any teacher who tells the kids in the class that, you know what, I was so innocent in school.
Like, and we're right, like, yeah, right. You're the last person to say that. So, yeah, and then when she says that statement, life is about choices, and then, yeah, every time it feels like, you know, an invisible dagger hit here in the back of your back saying, yes, life is about choices. So if you decide to do something, just remember that there will be repercussions. For example, also, what is still active, Helmut, in terms of the scams, like in Namibia, I unfortunately overheard another person, a woman, back in last month, I think like 2 weeks back. She was on a phone call and I was busy. I was, you know, because I was there to buy one other particular thing in the shop itself, but it's a specific shop in Maroomo that has a pretty compact layout. So you can immediately hear someone else's phone call when they're busy talking. And then she said, listen, she just realized that someone cloned her phone. Cloned her ATM card or her debit card. And then I stood there thinking to myself, the card cloning scam, is it still active? I mean, the cards, the technology associated to the ATM cards must now have advanced to a level where you can't clone the card anymore.
Yeah.
And because she recognized that there were dubious transactions going off on obviously on her mobile phone notifications, and she was busy telling someone else, you know, she just now had to stop her card from being active anymore because she recognized these dubious transactions. And I was like, wow, in 2026, card cloning is still a thing.
Yeah.
And then in a discussion with someone else right immediately after that, the wisdom that came out from this was, keep your eyes on your card. If you're paying at a lunch at a restaurant, if you're paying at a small shop that has a speed point, observe where your card goes. Don't give your card just away and the person walks away with your card in the machine.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes. That's the latest piece of wisdom.
Usually I just ask for the speed point.
Yeah. That's the latest piece of wisdom now that I learned, Helmut.
I just ask for the speed point. You're going to have to bring it here.
Or you walk with that person to the speed point.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't give your card and the person walks away with your card. Never. So, yeah. A bit of wisdom from the Home Run Squad 2026. Keep your eyes on your ATM card, especially if you love going cashless.
Very guilty. Yeah. Now, another wisdom in relation to the Cybercrime Act. Keep your eyes on your share button, because once the cybercrime.
Oh yeah, that one too.
Yeah, especially once the cybercrime bill is a cybercrime act. Section 25 dictates that a person who transfers, it's titled distribution of obscene or intimate images. Yeah, those, you know, someone going viral that you like to share. Yeah. Someone just took pictures of it. I still don't understand why people do that. But anyway, a person who transfers, publishes, or disseminates, including making a digital depiction available for distribution or downloading through a telecommunication network or through any other means of transferring data to a computer, the intimate or obscene images of other person commits an offense and is liable on conviction to a fine not exceeding $1 million or imprisonment for a term not exceeding 2 years or both.
That is such a ridiculous piece of legislation.
Not exceeding 1 million. It's a good thing they added on the not exceeding, because I was going to go what the heck? But it's not exceeding. Well, the thing is, I know I don't have, you know, even if it's, it was $1,000, I don't have $1,000 to pay for just sharing a picture. I'd rather just not share and save my $1,000. So watch your share button once this is, once the cybercrime act, once the cybercrime bill becomes an act. Okay, we keep counting. It's going to be by 2100. Just have faith. So 4 minutes into the hour of six, that brings us to the end of Home Run for today. Handing, taking over is a business and economic segment. That's with David. You all stay tuned until tomorrow.
And on that note, guys, stay tuned. And yeah, Helmut, you cut off. You cut me off right there. Let's see each other again, same time, same place, guys. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.